If you have your Bibles, you can open up to Matthew chapter 6. We're moving into chapter 6 now in the Sermon on the Mount. And from time to time, I'll get questions just from believers asking me, you know, why don't people go to church? Like, that's just been a common question that I've gotten throughout the years. And the answers from it really vary. It could be I've heard some people say, well, I think the services are boring, or the services are too long, or maybe they've gotten hurt in church before, or maybe they think the church has become too political, or the church doesn't meet their needs. But some of the answers I get from non-believers, or the most answer I get from non-believers of why they may not try church is this, that they believe that church is just a bunch of hypocrites. So as Christians, how do we respond to that answer when someone says, well, I just think the church is a bunch of hypocrites? First, I think our initial should be, yeah, you probably have met a lot of hypocrites in the church. Like, we should be like, well, guilty as charged. Like we all know that we have a tendency to do that. This church is just full of sinners. And at times, let's be honest, we can act like a hypocrite. We're susceptible to it. And Jesus addresses hypocrisy in the Sermon on the Mount. And the word hypocrite actually occurs a dozen times during the book of Matthew. So it is an issue that Jesus feels like he needs to deal with a couple of times throughout this book. So it's kind of a big deal. And again, this sermon of Jesus is exposing our hearts. But at the same time, if we are true believers, something of the character of the kingdom, something of the Beatitudes should be present in our lives. We should see spiritual poverty in our lives. We should see a spiritual thirst, a humility, a mercy, a peacemaking. Although imperfect, we should see those things in our lives. And along with these, there should be a presence of the righteousness of Christ in our lives. We fail at times, but we will continue to practice these things. So anger, adulterous thoughts, insincere talk, retaliation will become less and less in our life when we are practicing these things. And agape love will be increasing to an extent. However, this is where the danger lies and what Jesus is talking about. Once you begin to live out this righteousness, once you begin to live out what God is calling you to live, you start to fly spiritually, and once you're doing all that, you're full of all these good deeds, it's very easy to begin practicing your righteousness in front of others for their praise and not for God. That's where the danger lies in each of us. To where we shift the motive behind why we're doing the things that we're doing. So in this text, Jesus is dealing with our motive. It's dealing with why are you doing these spiritual things? Are you doing them for the praise of man? Do you want approval from me? What motivates you? The heart behind what you do is just as important as what you are doing. And that's what Jesus is getting at here. So read with me in verse 1 in chapter 6. It says this. It says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. So before I move forward, I want to make sure that we understand that what Jesus is talking about here is addressing motive. In verse 1, it doesn't contradict what Jesus has said in chapter 5 where Jesus teaches us, hey, to shine your light before men. We see that when he talks about the light and the salt illustration in Matthew chapter 5, right after the Beatitudes. And so he tells us to be light before men. And so here we see he talks about practicing righteousness to be seen by others. So Jesus wants the type of righteousness that he is talking about to where we do it for the glory of God and not to be seen by others so that we can be praised. And so it's not contradicting each other. He's discussing motive here behind what we are doing. He wants to know what your motive for your righteous living is for. Are you doing it to get praised by others? Or are you doing it for my glory? So he wants us to shine our light. But remember, where is that light coming from? It's coming from God. It's not coming from us. So if we're shining our light from God, then it's God getting the praise and not us. And so here, what he's talking about here is there's been a switch. No longer are you doing these things to shine your light for God to be glorified, but now you're doing it for man to praise you. And so what Jesus says here should be a little frightening to us, honestly, because what he says here is absolute, that it's possible for you to speak words of comfort, to do a lot of good things, and to do it for the recognition of man and not for God. The most outwardly, most self-effacing saint may have good deeds that he can count, but all would be for naught because his motive is wrong. Jesus does not, and here's the great thing, Jesus doesn't want this to happen. That's why he's addressing it. So he gives us advice supported by two illustrations of the proper motivation for why we do what we do. So the first illustration he gives is given in verses 2 through 4. So read with me in verse 2. It says, "So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their full reward." So the wrong way to give is basically just to blow your own horn when you do it. I mean that's kind of what we're seeing here. The way that they used to give in those days, the temple courts would literally blow trumpets, letting them know now it's time to give. So everybody would come to the temple and give. Well, what a great opportunity it was to show off what you're giving, right? If everybody's there watching each other give, then I'm just going to be a lot more flamboyant than the next person beside me, and I'm going to be like making sure my change clanks really hard in the bowl or whatever it is, showing off that I am actually giving. It's like, hey, saying, look at me, look at how much I'm giving. Big giver in the temple right here, like, who has two thumbs and is a big giver? This guy. Like, that's the motive that they were doing. They thought they were really something in what they were doing. But Jesus called them hypocrites, and really another term for a hypocrite is an actor. And so they were pretending to be something that they were not. They had given in to the praise and the approval of men. And this abuse, let's be honest, it is very common today too. You know, I wonder what would happen to the great charities in our country that do a lot of good things if there were no celebrity benefits, if there were no tax benefits, if there were no bronze plaques, if there were no names that were, or rooms or whatever, buildings that were named after people because they were such a big donor. I just wonder what would really happen to people giving if there was not a benefit for them to giving. What would happen? I wonder what would happen to the church if we would really just give and there really wasn't a reward for our giving that we would give in church, for giving in church. Because God is not pleased with it, so God is not pleased just because we give. He's pleased because we're being obedient in our giving. And here's what happens. When you give with that type of heart, when you're giving to show off, you're not really giving, you're really buying. You're buying the approval and the praise of men, or maybe you're trying to buy power. But you're not giving, you're buying. And when you give to a church a lot, and when you give to the church maybe a lot of money or to an organization a lot of money with the wrong heart, it is not pleasing to God because you are not giving out of obedience to God. You're buying, you're trying to buy the approval of man, or you're trying to buy power in the church so that you can have a voice. That's really what's happening when you're giving in the wrong heart. So then Jesus in verses 3 and 4 gives us the right way to give. Let's read in verse 3. "But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." So when you hear that illustration, it's kind of a weird illustration, right? How's your my hands don't know what each of them are doing on any of the time. Like, they can't think, you know. What does that have to do with anything? But when you give with your right hand, what Jesus is talking about here, when you give with your right hand, it must be so hidden that your left hand doesn't even know what's happening. So the idea here is, don't make a big deal about what you're doing when you're giving. Don't go telling others about what you're doing. It doesn't have to be make a big deal. But here's a key that a lot of people don't think about. It's not necessarily just about making a big deal to others, but it's about making a big deal to yourself about what you're doing. Because how many times maybe you haven't announced what you've done to everybody else, but when you just drop that offering, or whether you gave that big, you go back in your head and you start thinking, man, I just gave a lot to this church. Or I just gave a lot to that organization. You begin to pat yourself on the back for what you just did. How many times do we make a big deal about it to ourselves and to build ourselves up about what we just did, but we may have not just had a loudspeaker proclaiming it to everybody else about what we just did. Both are incredibly dangerous for us to do. Because here's what happens when we begin to give with that type of heart. You may not proclaim it initially, but then maybe something doesn't go your way. And then you begin to say, well, you know what? I tithe good money in this church, and I don't like what's happening. And you begin to use your tithing as power to make people think the way that you're thinking. You may not have announced it before, but then for years you've given, then something doesn't go your way, and then you use your money that you gave as leverage to get what you want. Both are incredibly dangerous to your spiritual life, and both are incredibly dangerous to the church. And both are sinful. And so what we have to do is that we don't keep a list of good deeds that we do. It's like, hey, I've done this, I've done that. You don't have to keep track. Just the point is to be faithful to the commands that God has called us to do. So what are the guiding principles that we can draw from with this? Listen, a true believer gives and serves to please God. They're not here to please man. Also, our lives are to be given in uncalculated generosity. As we give to others, we must guard our eyes from wondering to see who's looking at us, if anybody's seeing what we just did or whatever, or what you need to be. You can start by giving generously and having the right heart, but then you watch your eyes. If you begin to give and your eyes begin to wonder and like who just saw what I did, then that's time to reflect back and where your heart is in your giving. The point is we are never to work for the reward of man. We are always to work for the reward from God. Now, this isn't prosperity gospel. He's not going to make you rich. If you give $500, he's not going to give you twofold of this. That's not what this is teaching here. God may not make you rich. You know, if God blesses you, it's not because you've done anything good. That's just because of God's goodness. And what I'm saying is that the rewards God gives are not medals, but actually something of himself. And that as we are faithful to him, we get to know and be more intimate with God. And that is much more of a gift than anything that we can have in this life. So do not be a hypocrite by trying to show off with your giving. In it, you're just trying to show more righteousness than really what you really are. So give with thought that you are just being faithful and obedient to God. And really, this is just ordinary Christianity. So then he moves on from giving to the second illustration, which deals with praying. So in verse 5, read with me there. It says in verse 5, "And when you pray, do not be like hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their full reward." So these people like to engage in these very elaborate prayers in the synagogue and on the street corners. So basically, the way this worked too, so they blew a lot of trumpets back in the day. So they blew trumpets to let you know or made a broadcast of when you needed to pray throughout the day. Well, most people knew when that time was coming, so you could just schedule your like afternoon stroll on a very busy street corner knowing that the trumpet's about to sound to pray. So that's what all these religious leaders did. They would just schedule their afternoon strolls in a time and the trumpet would blow and then they would be on this very busy street corner and they would just give these elaborate prayers in front of everybody just showing them how righteous and how close to God they were. And it was a perfect opportunity for people to show off their stuff. And so that's what people saw and that's what people heard and that's what people thought were righteous, that's what they would want to attain to. And so let me be clear about one thing. Jesus is not condemning public prayer here. He's condemning the desire to be seen in public and to make a show and to be seen by man. Because we know in the early church thrived with public prayer. And as they prayed publicly and openly, we see the church grow and God do amazing things through that. But what we see in this is someone trying to show off about how holy they may be. They were being a hypocrite. And what we see is that prayer is an essential conversation between God and the believer. And we're to shut out every distraction and just focus on God. In Matthew 6, 7, it says this, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words." And so here's what I want you to hear. Our God is not impressed with a lot of words or how fancy our words are in our prayer. He's impressed with the heart that goes behind the words. And really, this comes right down to where we live today. You know, we sometimes think of sin as something that affects us out there and that it affects us. But when we need to see that sin is in here and sin causes us to be far away from God like the prodigal. But sin is far more ingrained in us than just the subtle, just kind of things that we think about. It intrudes even the very highest and holiest acts that we can do. It can intrude our prayer life. And sometimes we don't think about that, but sin can intrude every single aspect of our life. And we can get down on our knees and we can pray to God this elaborate prayer and it really not be about God at all. It can be absolutely sinful. And sadly, there are many prayers in public and in private that just never rise above self. And so let me ask you some questions that may be helpful. Do you pray longer in public than you ever do in private? Is that just kind of the way that your prayers, or maybe you don't even pray in private, but you pray in public? You know, do you pray differently in public than you do in private? Are you more animated? Do you use bigger words than you do in public than you do in private? These questions may help determine maybe there's something off there in what you're doing. Maybe that you're trying to show something more that's what's not there in private. Now, if both things are matching up, praise God there, you know. But a lot of times, I mean, that can be a tendency for us as Christians. And this is not for you to monitor to the person beside you. Oh, man, they're praying like that. They must be, you know. That's not what this is about. This is to monitor yourself. It is a guide to monitor your own prayer life. It is possible that the reason for that more of our prayers are not answered is because we're more concerned about bringing them before men than we are before God. And that could be the reality. And we can be sure that Jesus meant exactly what he said in this opening verse, that beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for they will have no reward from your Father in heaven. When we face that truth, it is a sobering and honestly somewhat frightening because we can do acts of mercy. We can even pray and it be about ourselves and we are doing it to play to the crowd. Are we doing it to promote ourselves or are we doing it to maybe promote maybe that we're more spiritual than what we are? Are we doing it for the praise of man? Are we doing it to build ourselves up? Are you doing those things just because, one, you just need to pray to God? You just feel the desperation of, I need to talk to you right now. And are we doing those acts of mercy as an overflow and just being faithful to what God has called us to? So what's the motive behind what you're doing? When you pray, do you pray to God or do you pray for men? Do you pray extravagantly? So the question for us, how spiritual are you and what spiritual and what extent are you trying to prove to people of how spiritual you are? You know, asking yourself these questions, I'm going to be honest, it can be painful. But the more we see the problem, though it may be great, the better position that we are to receive grace. Maybe that's where you are today. Maybe you're more showy than you are authentic. And if that's where you are today, praise God that you can see the sin in your heart and then you can start receiving the grace and becoming more authentic with the way that you live your Christian life. So what's the answer to all this? The first step is one, it's just honesty. Honestly with yourself and before God. You don't have to put on a show and to be honest where you are, because I'm about to make a point about that in a minute. You just have to be honest and admit that you're a hypocrite. You're more of a show than you are faithful. Then that's where you have to start. You have to remember what we've talked about at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus talks about, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. And what are we mourning over? Sin. And those who mourn over sin, what does it say that will happen? They will be comforted. Comforted is another way of Jesus saying that we will be forgiven. Okay? So that's where maybe we have to be honest with ourselves and mourn over our sin so that we can receive the forgiveness that comes through that place. That's a great place to start. Second, we have to understand that God knows our hearts. You know, I may not know your heart. You may can fool me, but you're not fooling God, you know. And so we have to remember Psalms 139:8. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. Hey, God knows my heart. God knows where I've been. God knows what I'm thinking right now. I can't fool him. He knows my motive, you know. And if he's the one that I should care about the most, then who cares what these other people think about me? I'm just pleasing God, you know. And that's a hard place to get to. I understand it's a great struggle for me also. But the reality is that we're here to please God and giving him glory and not to please man. Maybe you need to start by praying something like this. God, because you know all things, you know my motivations, God, help me to live my life for you and not for others. And maybe each morning when you wake up, remind yourself of the presence of God in your life. Remind yourself that God is watching you, that God sees you, that you don't have to hide stuff, that you don't have to pretend, because God knows it when you're pretending anyway, so it's really no point in trying to do it anyways. And so just God, remind yourself of those things and just go out and be authentic for him. If you struggle, be authentic in your struggling. If you're having a great day, be authentic in having your great day. That's fine too. Like, you don't have to hide that either. But just be authentic in what you're doing, whether you're praying or whether you're giving or whether you're just in your quiet time. Be authentic. And it should be, and honestly, it should be encouraging that he is with you, knowing everything about you, because then, honestly, it's not so much pressure to try to prove yourself to others. Because he knows it anyways, you don't have to prove anything. So you just get to live without having that weight on you. And understand that he is here to help you through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, the practice of your spiritual disciplines should not just, it should just not be a motive to put it on display for everybody. Now, there is discipleship that happens to where you're doing spiritual disciplines with each other so that you can help each other in that. There's that. But this is not what that is talking about. This is talking about it just being on display for everybody to see for praise. So just don't practice putting your spiritual disciplines on display unless you're discipling someone in an intimate relationship. There should always be, you should always be doing this in an audience of one. And he is the one that we should be concerned with who we please. And this was certainly the way that Jesus lived his life. Because trust me, if Jesus was concerned about what people thought about him, he wouldn't have been as blunt as he would have been in a lot of these stories. But Jesus cared more about glorifying his heavenly Father than he ever was about pleasing man. And because of that, we're thankful, because that's what drove him to the cross. Because he wanted to obey his Father. And that's where we find our forgiveness. And he clearly understood that what matters in life is obeying and pleasing God. May we learn the way of Jesus today. And there's a big difference between pleasing man and pleasing God. Let's pray today. Father, thank you for this challenging word. Lord, help us to examine our hearts about why we do the things that we do. Father, is it for the praise of man or is it for your glory, Father? Are we just being faithful to your commands? Father, I just pray that you open up our eyes to our hearts and help us to see why we do the things that we do. And Lord, if there's sin that has entered any aspect, whether it's our giving or prayer life or anything that extends past that, Father, that you help us to see it and that you help us to repent and to turn from that lifestyle, Father. Because, Father, even the most holiest acts can be tainted with sin. So help us to even examine those acts too, Father. So, Lord, we just pray that we're a people who obeys and shines your light to all men. And Father, that we will be a people that will be about having others respond to the grace that's been given to us too, Father. So Lord, we ask all these things in your name. Amen.